The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. It's true we are under grace. It is also true that Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. Notice what God has to say about the new covenant in the book of Hebrews, beginning in Hebrews 8, verse 6. But now he has ordained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now notice, my friends, God says that he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The old covenant did not offer a sacrifice that could take away sins, neither did it offer salvation. But this better or new covenant, which Christ says he is the mediator of, offers a sacrifice for sins and salvation by and through the mediator of the new covenant, Jesus the Christ. God offers his Holy Spirit and eternal life in this new and in this better covenant. Now notice, there was nothing wrong with the old covenant. Under the Levitical priesthood, it did exactly what God intended it to do, and that was to remind people by the sacrificial offerings that it took blood to cover and forgive sins. It also pointed to the fact that there would have to be a high priest, Jesus Christ, by his death and shed blood to pay the penalty for sin, the second death, which is the penalty of sin for the world. Those animal sacrifices were to remind them of sin as well. But as the book of Hebrews tells us, that it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Going on now in Hebrews 8, beginning in verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Now notice, it is that first covenant had been faultless. Verse 8, because finding fault with them. Now God says he found fault with them, that is the people, that was ancient Israel. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And notice God said the days are coming when he would make this new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. And God says ancient Israel did not continue in the covenant that he made with them and that they agreed to. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Did you notice that, my friends? God said he will write his laws in their mind and put them on their hearts. Yes, telling us that the law will be very much a part of the new covenant, or the better covenant. Now, is verse 10 telling us that God has or will annul or destroy the law? Of course not. On the contrary, that by the power of God's Holy Spirit, God will put his laws in our mind and write them on our heart, so we will be cognizant and mindful of them in the letter and in the spirit or in the mind, not to break, not to ignore, and trample on God's law. Now we usually do what's on our mind, and if you have God's law, his way, on your mind, you will live God's way. Now that's a big part of the new covenant. God did not offer ancient Israel his Holy Spirit as a whole. Neither did he offer eternal life or salvation to them under the old covenant. But he will under the new or the better covenant. They were only offered and promised physical, financial, and material blessings for obedience to God's law in the letter. Obedience to God's law produces a much better society, one free of crime, happy marriages, financial stability, peace in the land, and so on. Now continuing here in Hebrews 8, verse 11. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Now this is under the new covenant, or the better covenant, that God said he would make with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Yes, God says the whole house of Israel, including the house of Judah, which will be joined together as in the beginning, when they came out of Egypt, and 40 years later when they went over into the promised land. They will again become one nation, and David will be king over the whole nation of Israel. And God says they will all know him from the least to the greatest. How will that be made possible? Well, under the better or the new covenant, God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will teach them His laws. My friend, do you catch that wonderful truth? God's law still exists under the new covenant. Now, when will this new covenant be made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah? Notice in Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. These are direct quotes that Paul used in Hebrews here. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. God says He fulfilled His part of that new covenant. Just as a husband is loyal and faithful to a wife, God was to ancient Israel. But God says ancient Israel was like a treacherous wife, and they left him and forsook him and went after other gods. That tells us that in many places in God's Word. So God says they broke His covenant. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Notice, my friend, God guarantees that this is going to happen. He guarantees that there's still going to be a nation of Israel, and that they will be one nation, and they will be under and living under the new and the better covenant. Verse 35 says this, thus says the Eternal, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Eternal. Yes, God guarantees this new covenant will be in effect to Israel and finally the whole world a little later. And the time setting of this new covenant that is spoken of in the book of Hebrews and in Jeremiah here, which we've just been reading from, is after the return of Christ at the beginning of the millennial rule of Christ on the earth, and the law is still in existence. What do you know about that? More than 2,500 years has passed since Jeremiah penned these words. The law was in effect then, it is today, and will be tomorrow. It will be very much a part of the new covenant, and is today as well, for anyone living under the terms of the new covenant. The law of God was a big part of the old covenant, and it is and will be a big part of the new covenant. The law was not nailed to the cross, my friends, and you need to understand that. You need to understand that God still requires obedience to His law, and He requires obedience to His law in the letter and in the spirit. Notice in Micah 4, beginning verse 1. Now this is after Christ has returned, after the new covenant has been made, that better covenant has been made with the house of Israel, when they're living under the new covenant. Micah 4, beginning verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, this means the end time, that the mountain, or the government of God, the Lord's house, shall be established on top of the mountains. In other words, God's throne, God's government is going to be over all nations, and it shall be exalted above the hill, big nations, little nations, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion, yes, out of headquarters, from God's throne, Jerusalem, where His throne will be, where Christ will be seated on the throne of the universe, for out of Zion the law shall go forth. Yes, the law, the Ten Commandments of God, and God's Word, for that matter. And the Word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Well, it states that God's law and the Word of the Lord will go forth from Zion, from God's headquarters, out of Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Yes, my friends, that time is coming, and that time is spoken of when the new covenant has already been made with the house of Israel, and that new covenant, or that better covenant, will spread to the whole world. And God says that we are going to learn the way of peace instead of learning the way of bickering and biting and fighting and war. Notice in verse 4, "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." Yes, that time of peace is coming, and it's just around the corner, my friends, and you could prepare to be there and be a teacher, a king, and a priest to help take God's law and God's word into all nations and be able to enforce it. That's the way it will be, and it should be and could be and would be that way today if we were willing to obey our Creator. Yes, God made a covenant with ancient Israel, but He didn't offer them salvation, neither did He offer them His Holy Spirit at that time. But He did tell them if they would obey His law, walk in His covenant, and obey His covenant that He made with them, that they agreed to, that they would be the most prosperous and the most blessed nation on earth. And God wanted them to be that way, to be His people, and set an example for the rest of the world, so the world, the whole world, would have peace and prosperity and well-being. Notice going on here in verse 12 of Hebrews 8, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Under the new covenant, the blood of Christ, His sacrifice, His death, washes and cleanses you of your sins. And through Christ, you are offered salvation or eternal life. Christ is high priest by offering Himself for the sins of the world, and by His resurrection has made a better and a new covenant. Because under the old covenant, the blood of animals, the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean or the sinners, could never forgive your sins or give you eternal life, as we will read from the book of Hebrews a little later in this series on the new covenant. Notice in verse 13, "In that He says a new covenant, He has made the first obsolete." Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Well, my friends, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in Hebrews 8, verse 13, tomorrow or next week, wherever it is that you're listening to the Way It Ought to Be program. In the meantime, if you'd like more understanding of this topic, we invite you to request our CDs on this program, our booklets and our articles to help you understand the New Covenant. Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com and request our free booklet, "What Do You Mean Salvation?" Very few people seem to know what salvation is or how you receive it or when you get it. And if you aren't sure that you understand salvation, then call us at the Marble Hill Church of God, 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program daily on some stations and weekly on others. We're located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch, meeting at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Have a good day, my friends, and may God help you to understand His plan of salvation.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.